We joined up with groups from Alabama, Tennessee, Indiana, Oklahoma, and Kentucky. Our entire group that was there was about 85 people total. We were able to accomplish a good bit. Before we get into what all we were able to do, just want to say a word of thank you to all of our folks here who prayed for us, encouraged us, donated stuff, gave financially, just helped in a number of different ways as we went on this trip. We had a special contribution one Sunday here that gave us a great blessing, as many were on the fundraising trail. And so we just thank you for everything that you've done to help make this trip possible. So while we were on the trip, and I had originally intended on this just to kind of loop through this little slideshow, but I noticed that as I get into it, there's a couple things I want to stop and talk about. So I will do my best to remember just to kind of roll through these pictures. I don't exactly remember how many of them that there actually were. But one of the things we were able to do, and this is our group as a whole, all 85 of us, we didn't all do the same things every day. But we built a total of 17 houses while we were down there. I'll talk more about the houses in just a minute. We delivered 5 loads of food in a couple different communities, and each load of food averages around 200 bags of food. And that bag, which is somewhere between 30 to 40 pounds worth of food, will feed a family, an average family, for around a week or so. And so it's a pretty important thing when groups of people, groups of gringos, come rolling into a community to hand out food. There's a nice one of Jake working pretty hard. We also visited a couple of hospitals where they would go in and pray with people. I was going to say it got stuck on that one. We'll just have to look at it the rest of the night. We visited hospitals where we would go in and pray with people. Some folks had brought some diaper bags that they took in and were able to visit the maternity ward as well as the NICU ward and hand out some of those diapers and diaper bags and baby supplies and all of that. That was a pretty powerful experience. We also painted at Mi Esperanza, which is an organization that was started by Lori Connell. She and her husband Mark were our group leaders this year. She and a couple other ladies started this organization called Mi Esperanza that basically provides work for women of Honduras. Mi Esperanza translates my hope, and so they provide jobs for women in Honduras. And one of the neat things that they do is they provide goods, some purses, jewelry. It's all handmade. And they have a little store there, and we always go there one day to kind of shop in their store, and it's really neat to see what all they do. A couple of them one day got to go and have a spa day at Mi Esperanza. The rest of us went and worked hard. Some of them went and got their hair done and got their nails done. I think they got their toenails painted, got a massage. I think they were standing beside them with palm leaves, fanning them. No, I'm just kidding. They didn't do that. But this Mi Esperanza has a cosmetology school in it, and so the ladies there kind of get tired of working on each other, and so we had some folks that went, not all females, a couple males went as well, and just kind of had a spa day while the rest of us built some houses and did some other things. One of the things that we did that we were unable to see it to completion but got a lot of work done was there were 2 retaining walls that we were building, one in the Santa Ana area and one, if I'm not mistaken, was in the Dadasco community. Is that right? Don't remember. I don't remember exactly where the other one was, but they had some delays and some holdups, but basically in one of them, the ground, the wall behind one of the houses was eroding, and it was eventually going to wash out one of the torch houses that had been built several years ago. And so they went in and they were working on building a retaining wall there. One of the other things that we did, I'll hold on about the, let me find what's coming up here. This is the lumber truck that a lot of the kids, this is, the name of this community, Moa Loa, the Moa Loa community, which I don't know what Moa Loa means, but it ought to mean vicious mountainside. because every house that we would build in this community would be on a steep hill. One of the houses we built in this community, if the edge of the house was the edge of this pulpit, there was about a 20-foot drop right out about 3 feet off the front door. And that's basically sums up this community. And so the truck takes the wood as far as it can get it, and then it just drops it. And if it can't get it to the build site, then we carry it on the way in to get it. Now, this picture did crack me up. If you can notice the house, the brown wood-sided house, that's a torch house. That's several of the houses you've seen that I'm going to show you here in just a minute. But I don't know if you noticed, but there's a satellite dish hanging on the side of that house. And you'll see those all over the place. Cell phones were everywhere. You'll see houses like this. I'll show you a picture, might have a picture in there of one of the houses we tore down that was the back wall was, you know, when you buy a cheap piece of furniture or a cheap bookshelf, you know, the cheap backing that comes on it, particle board or whatever that stuff is called. That was the back wall in one of the houses we tore down to build a torch house. Found that one pretty phenomenal. Some of the most beautiful countryside you will ever see in your life. Here's a shot of Dion. Dion actually got his hair done at Mia Esperanza one day. They really enjoyed working on his hair. I told you, Raven, I told you had a couple pictures of you in here. All right, here we go. So let's talk about the city dump. This is a pretty powerful experience. I chose not to go this year. I went last year, and that was good for me. It's one of the most powerful experiences you will ever have in your life. There are people who work at the city dump every day. No one lives there anymore, but there are people that live right around the city dump. I can't begin to describe to you the smell of this place, but occasionally you'll catch whiffs of it even back at home. Not that anything that I'm around smells like that, but just occasionally that smell will come back to you and you'll remember, oh man, that's exactly what the city dump smells like. It can be a little breathtaking, honestly, when you first pull up. You kind of have to prepare yourself. Some people will take some Vicks Vapor Rub and kind of put it on their lip, inside their nostrils, seems like on their eyelids, anywhere they can put it to constantly smell it just to kind of tone down the odor. But people work here every day, and we look at that. And well, let me, before I get into that, one of the things that we do is we will go and prepare sandwiches at Mia Esperanza because it's not too terribly far from the dump, and then take those sandwiches and deliver them to the folks at the dump. And they know the routine. When they see the torch buses pull in, they are fed every Tuesday and Thursday. And so they know the routine. They make a line very calmly behind the bus. They know everybody's going to get fed. And there they get either a ham or turkey or bologna sandwich and a thing of water. And so they're very appreciative of that. But there's different people that are looking for different things at the city dump every day. It could be plastic. It could be any kind of metal. But they're all looking for something. And we might look at that and say, man, what an awful way to make a living. But it's way more honorable than the alternatives. Because many of these could be out on the street selling drugs. They could be out on the street selling their bodies. But instead, they are working hard at the dump every day, trying to make some money for their family to provide. This picture was pretty powerful to me because you do find children at the dump working, looking for stuff, also there with their parents. So it's a pretty phenomenal experience. It's one you will never forget. And everybody loves to have fun, whether you're at the dump or not. Everybody likes to play some games and just have a good time. So while we were there, we had a pretty cool experience. Early on in the week, our group leader, Mark, he told us about We left on early Sunday morning, May 31st, and so the following Sunday, as soon as we got there, he started telling us about this race called the Marathon. We called it the Marathon del Picacho. I did Google it and learned that it was actually Marathon Cristo del Picacho. And basically, at the city of Honduras, there's this massive Jesus statue. That's what Cristo del Picacho means, the statue of Jesus. And so there's this massive Jesus statue. In fact, you see it when you're flying into Honduras. You can't miss it. It is gigantic. And it's a statue of Jesus with his arms spread out. And one night every trip, we go there and have a devotional at the feet of the Jesus statue, which is a pretty cool experience. And so he began to tell us that there's this race. It's an 8K that they're going to be running up the mountain that we actually stay on. Where we stay is called Via Gracia. It resides on the El Hatillo Mountain, which is the mountain that the Jesus statue is on. And he starts telling us about this race, the Maratón del Picacho, that it's something that we could run in if we wanted to. It'd be about $7 to enter a race. You'd get a t-shirt out of it. See some of them wearing the blue t-shirt. Says, Somos Angeles, we are all angels, I think is what it says. And he said, if you want to, you can run in this race. They already had a group of people that were planning to enter. I don't run unless there's incentive or a ball involved. I've never paid to run. I do find that very odd. But several of them said, hey, let's do it. And so I thought, all right, this sounds like fun. It was fun until the race started. I can't begin to tell you how steep that mountain is. We drove it every day, but running, it was about 4.8 miles up a mountain. It was fun. I mean, it was fun to finally finish. And it was a pretty intense race. This is a picture of a group of us that did the entire 8K. It's about 4.8 miles. At one point, I want to say the incline going up the mountain was about 12 to 15% for about, I don't know, 50 yards. And then it was consistently about a 6% incline running up the whole mountain until you got to the very top where the road to the Jesus statue was. And then you had about a half mile, three-quarter mile, relatively flat jog, and the race ended right at the Jesus statue. And so it was pretty cool. And so we started running. Here's some pictures of a few of them that ran the whole race. This is Bryce. He's not in the first blue shirt, but in the second blue shirt. There's Raven finishing the race. There's Sydney. There's me. There's Jessica. And there's John Tyler and Sierra. They also had a part of the race that was considered the walkers portion of the race. It wasn't up the mountain. It was just the stretch of the road. They thought it was going to be about a two-mile run. It was about a three-quarter of a mile walk. But Jake won first in the walkers category. He sprinted the whole three-quarter-mile run in place first. They had not even set up the finish line for him to cross it yet, which was pretty funny. But it was really neat. They had this finish line set up for us as we come in, and there's people there cheering. It was only the torch people that were cheering. Nobody else cheered. Nobody else thought it was that important to cheer people on. And the funny part was, we're in Honduras, a Spanish-speaking country, and all of the gringos are over there cheering for people in English. They probably had no clue what they were saying. But it was encouraging to hear the cheers and to cross the finish line. And this was one of the group pictures we took on the side of the mountain after the race. And it was a pretty fun. This was a picture of the walkers. They had a nice little run there. So one of the other things we were able to do while we were there is we were able to visit a couple of children's homes. One was affectionately referred to as the Jimmy Hughes place. I don't even know where it was. Another one was the Didasco Children's Home. And that was a lot of fun. I took these little mustaches with me, and I'd forgotten them. They were in my bag until the day we went to Didasco. And so when we got there, I just started handing them out to the little kids. And Beth thankfully caught one of the pictures. Those kids loved those little things. We had some good times with them. But one of the things we were able to do is go in and take them some lunch. And one of the things that they asked for, and this might have been the weirdest lunch we ate the whole trip, but they wanted Kentucky Fried Chicken and fried rice. And so we went to KFC and picked up a bunch of big buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken and the greasiest fried rice you have ever eaten in your life. Greasier than the Kentucky Fried Chicken, but that's what they wanted, and it was pretty good. This is a picture over at the other children's home that we referred to as Jimmy Hughes' place. This little girl's name was Lori, and she kind of was standing in the background, and I was sitting down in this little area, and she just kept kind of popping her head up, and so I was finally able to get her to talk to me and made a little friend out of her, and they decided to play a game of bingo, and so she sat down with me. And the neat thing about this children's home as opposed to Didasco is that just about all the children speak English. And so we're sitting there and we're just, you know, talking back and forth. And she's five, Kinley's five. And so it just reminded me of home and, you know, a little nice moment. And so so we're talking and start playing bingo and helping her learn her numbers. And she actually won the first round of bingo. And so we hollered out, bingo. And so she went up and got her prize. And then she ran away and I never saw her again. I was kind of sad. Didn't get to tell her bye. She was such a sweet little girl. But able to catch that picture. She didn't like to take pictures, but was able to work her into one. So we were able to play some games with the kids. Every kid loves bubbles. We painted one of their dormitory rooms, which was a task. It was a lot of painting. There's a shot of serving that Kentucky Fried Chicken and fried rice. We painted one of their dormitory rooms. We also restained their beds and got it looking pretty good. They have to meet a code for the country of Honduras in order to run this children's home. And they don't receive a ton of funds, and so we were able to come in and to provide them a lot of work. I got a shot coming up here in just a second of the directors of the children's. There's a plate of that nice fried chicken and fried rice. But the directors of the children's home, there they are. I can't remember their names off the top of my head, but they work so hard. It's basically these two that run the entire place along with the help of a few other adults. And they have devoted their lives to this. They live here. They live at this children's home full time. They have raised their children, their own children at this place. Just some of the most inspiring people that you will ever meet. So I don't know if you have known this, but every Sunday morning we put a little bucket, a little old water jug right here at the front of this podium, and Jonathan leads Thank You Lord, whoever's leading singing on Sunday morning leads the song Thank You Lord, and our little kids come running down the aisle, and I especially love it for my two little girls. They come running down the aisle, and we have to talk with them every Sunday, don't get up on the stage, you know, just put your money in the bucket, come straight back. But it's one of the coolest things we do as a church is to watch those little kids come and to contribute. And the first couple years, we gave this money to other places. But for the last 12 or 13 months, this money has been set aside to build a house in Honduras. It cost about $1,600, depending on the price of lumber, to build a house in Honduras. These houses are 16 by 16. They're a one-room house with one door in one window. They have a slanted tin roof, and these houses absolutely change a family's life compared to what they were living in before. They have wood siding up the sides. They have the same siding it's a tongue and groove siding that goes up the wall. The same siding is used for the floors. And so for the last year, our children have been dumping money into this little bucket, and every so often when it gets a little full, I'll take it and empty it, and we'll deposit it and set that money aside. And as we were getting closer to going on the trip, I emptied it again, and it was around $1,200 that we had collected from the year. And I usually empty it about every 3 months, and so I thought, okay, I think we're going to make it. And so right before we left, about a couple of weeks before we left, I emptied it again, and that was about another $300 or so dollars. Our children contributed over $1,500 over the course of a year to build a house for a family. I think we ought to say amen to that. Thank you, all three of you. I think we ought to say amen to that. I mean, that's phenomenal. You see, all those little kids run down here, and it doesn't matter if they're throwing in a dollar, if they're throwing in a quarter. I found 20s in there, which I'm just blown away by. Fives and tens, it's all in there. Never seen a hundred. So, I mean, if you want to, you know, issue the challenge there, parents, just kidding. But week after week after week, and I'm going to show you a picture here in just a second of the labor and the generosity of our families and of our children here. And that's why that slide has been up there every Sunday since last year, that your contribution will help build a house in Honduras. And that's exactly what we did. This is Josue. I don't know Josue's last name. I don't know that he's ever told me his last name. I'm friends with him on Facebook, but he's known as Josue. He's been around Torch for years. He's one of the funnest people you will ever meet in your life. Always smiling. He's just a big cut up. I didn't get to be around him a ton last year. He wasn't with our group a lot, but this year he was with us almost the entire trip, almost every day. 3 months before we got there, Josue's wife passed away. They have two children. I think his son is around 8 or 10 years old, and then he has a younger son that's about 3 years old, I think. And his wife passed away basically from a heart attack at 30 years of age. And this is a picture of her. I don't know if you can see it, but he's holding this picture. And so when we got there, and we had already sent all our funds down, and we were able to sponsor at least one other house. I told you our group built 17 houses, and a lot of the groups come in, and different people kind of will raise money for a house, and they'll kind of designate that house. And so this was designated the Creekwood House, and we had funds to raise at least one other house that we specifically said we wanted at least one other house built out of those funds. And then whatever they did with the rest of those funds, it was about, we sent down somewhere in the neighborhood of about $6,000 specifically for the work fund, which included the funds for this house here. So I don't know exactly what all was done other than everything that I told you that we did leading up until this point, building 17 houses, 5 loads of food, painting, delivering food to the dump, food to the orphanages, and things of that nature. And so as we got into later on in the week, I reminded our group leader, I said, hey, don't forget, you know, we had a house that we specifically wanted to make sure that all of our Creekwood group was at. We had a plaque for this house. And so we just want to make sure we're all together to build this house so we can get a picture at it and we can come back and report on it. He said, okay, sounds great. And so about 2 days before we went out on this house build, all of us knew when we found out when we got there, if we didn't already know, that Josue had lost his wife. And there had been rumors that we were going to build a house in her memory. And about 2 days before we went out on this build, Mark told me that we were going to build the Creekwood House in memory of Josue's wife. And man, oh my goodness, talk about such an honor. And so we got to work in on this house, and it was in Josue's community. It wasn't too far from where his house is, and his whole family and his wife's family lived there as well, and a bunch of people came out to help us build this house. And normally you can build a house in about 4 hours, depending on how hard the post holes are to dig, because you plant 4x4 posts as your four corners. About a quarter of an inch into the ground on 3 of our holes, we hit solid rock. And by solid rock, I mean solid rock. And so we got to just chipping away because we need to set these posts at least 12 feet in. We got close to 12 feet on most of them. We wound up having to concrete all of them. And so it was a pretty hard work day that day, but everybody had a great attitude. They also sent us out on a food delivery on the same day in the same community. So part of our house building crew went out to deliver food in that community, and that community had never had a food delivery there before. And so anytime you get into a community that doesn't know how we do that, it can tend to create a little bit of chaos. So part of our group went out on a food delivery, part of them worked, and the ones that went out on the food delivery were gone way longer than we thought, because some of our work mission group was in that food delivery group, and we wanted them to get back in time to trade off and to help finish the rest of the house. But we got to work, and Josue even jumped in, and he was helping us build this house and helping us run the show. And it was a really cool build. And as we got closer to the end of the day, we're getting ready to put up the last wall. You have to save one wall because you have to leave one wall open because that's how you slide in your floor joists, because they're not necessarily cut to length. You slide them in, get them in place, and then at the very end, you trim them off, and then you build your last wall. Well, the way they wanted the house built, it was built in honor, in memory of Josue's wife for her aunt who was going to live in the house. And so that homeowner gets to decide, where do you want the window, where do you want the door, where do you want the rain to run off? And so she decided where she wanted the window and door and the rain to run off. And it just so happened that the way the roof line was running as it slanted down, that happened to be our last wall as well. And so as we got into, see, I wanted to show y'all that I actually do work when I'm gone. I do know what physical labor is. Some people think youth ministers don't know what physical labor is. Thought this was a great shot of Jake running that chainsaw. They'll let anybody run a chainsaw. Can you believe that? Even let me touch a chainsaw. But as we got towards the end of the day, I don't know if you can see, but you can see a cloud rolling in. And at this point, they're still putting the tin on the roof. And we have not put up that last wall there. And just as we get ready to put up that last wall, the bottom fell out. And it was a downpour, very similar to how it's rained yesterday and today. It was pouring. Thankfully, there wasn't any lightning in the area. But the deal is, you just got to work through it. We got to get done. We can't just stop and tell this family, well, sorry, we're going to come back tomorrow, because many of them have torn down a home that was standing there previously for us to come in and build them a house. And so we got to work. And you can't see the rain here, but just look at the ground. Look to your left of the house, and just in front of it, if you can see the rain puddles. And what's interesting is those people are standing there nailing up that last wall, and that water is running off right at them, right onto their heads. And everybody had a great attitude. It was the nastiest house we have ever built. The walls were practically caked in mud from where they were sitting on the ground waiting on us to put them up, and then it just started pouring down rain. But everybody had a great attitude. Here's a shot of us. We always kind of bless the house and have a prayer over the house. We have a prayer in English and then in Spanish. This is a shot of our entire work group that went with us that day. There's Josue and a couple of the kids. This is Josue and his mother-in-law. His youngest son is standing right in front of his mother-in-law, and then his oldest son is the young man in the royal blue t-shirt standing right beside his mother-in-law, if I'm not mistaken. I think the other children might be some cousins. But this was built in memory of her daughter and his wife. And as we finished this house, I don't think there was a single dry eye in the house because of what Josue means to us as torturers, the relationship we've built with him. And all week, we all knew what he had been going through. I mean, we didn't fully understand, but we all knew he had lost his wife. And he always had a smile. He was always cutting up. But on this day, it was like he kind of pulled back the curtain a little bit and let us see into his emotions a little bit. And we were able to cry with him and to mourn with him a little bit. And he was so thankful. This little plaque says, in the name of Jesus Christ, en el nombre de Jesus Cristo. And then you can't read it, but it says funds for this house were donated by the children from the Creekwood Church of Christ. And so this plaque is hanging inside this home. And we were able to bless this family. This is a shot of our Creekwood mission team inside the house. And they were very thankful to have this roof over their heads. Here's a shot of us outside the house with our good friend Yanni posing with us as well. But it was a really cool experience, not only to go down for a second time, but to go with funds from our church family, especially from our children, from my little girls who every Sunday are putting something in that little bucket, and to see that come to fruition and to know that a family tonight is sleeping dry because of the generosity, not only of our church family, but of our children here at Creekwood. So we're going to update our slide, because our picture on our slide is from last year. So my plan is for this coming Sunday to have a new slide for you to see with one of these pictures on it. And I just bring this back to show you that what our children do every Sunday when they run down that aisle, it matters. It absolutely makes a difference, because now there's a family who has a dry house with four walls and a floor to live in every day, and it changed their life. We had some fun. A couple of these are on the day we were getting ready to go. There's a group shot of us on the day that we left. So our theme this year, I'm going to start to kind of wrap up. Our theme this year for our trip was En el nombre de Jesus, and Beth is modeling our shirt for us tonight. It's got a picture of a torch house on it. And everything that we did in the name of Jesus. We went out each day and we served other people in the name of Jesus. We delivered food in the name of Jesus. We built houses in the name of Jesus. It was all to his glory. And as I've thought about that trip and thought about preparing this little presentation tonight, you know, we live every day in the name of Jesus. We live every day in the authority and in the guidance and in the protection of Jesus. We carry his name with us everywhere we go, the name of Christian. We are of Christ. And so I just wanted to remind us that each one of us, regardless of where we are, regardless of where we go, whether it's we go to Honduras, to Costa Rica, to Africa, whether you go across the street, you go to another lunch table, whether you go to the next cubicle or office over, it does not matter. We live every day in the name of Jesus, and we carry that name with us everywhere we go. Jesus would tell those around him that even if we give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, we are his disciples. And so it matters. Everything that we do matters. One of the neat things about this trip this year that I learned is that I'm not saying there's not an age too old to go to Honduras, but that age was upped for me this year because we served along some people in their upper 70s. There was one lady named Granny. I loved Granny. She was one of the funniest people I have ever met. I intended to put a picture of her in there. I don't know how old Granny is. I hope she never listens to this because I'm going to estimate she's in her mid to late 70s. She's been going for about 10 or 15 years. And Granny was building a house with us. Granny swung a hammer than half of the men that went on that trip. That woman was something else. We had another grandma there named Mimi. So we had two resident grandmothers who took care of everyone. Also bunked in a bunk room basically with a group of men. I was by far the youngest. Most of them were in their mid to late 40s. A few of them were in their 60s, and one of them was in his upper 70s. And so I say all that to say there's something for everybody. There is something for everybody. It was a really cool trip. But to kind of wrap it up, here's what I want to close with. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter says that to accept the saving power, the forgiveness that Jesus offers us, we are to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of our sins, and we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the greatest way that we can honor the name of Jesus is to not only carry it with us everywhere we go, but maybe for someone tonight to put on that name in baptism. To, as Paul says in Galatians 3, to literally put on Christ as you would a shirt, as you would clothing, that we put him on in baptism. And it's in that moment, in those waters of baptism, that we go to those waters in his name, by his authority, that our sins are washed away. We're added to his family. We're added to the church. And there we begin to walk every day, wherever we go, carrying the name of Jesus with us. So tonight, if that's something that you would like to do, if you're ready to put Christ on in baptism and to carry his name with you and to live every day in the name of Jesus, then we'd love to help you. If you need the prayers of this church because you've been struggling in your relationship with God and you need some strength and support, we'd love to do that as well. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come as we stand and sing.